show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Yeah, just like last year, looking for cheap last-minute gifts ideas. Where can I find them?
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all the feedback from the geeks. This is the network show for December 20th, 2010. This is the companion podcast to Technorama with all of your email, voicemail, and social network comments. So if you're new to Technorama, you might want to go back an episode or two and have a listen, because this is the stuff we're going to talk about from those previous shows. I am Chuck Tomasi, and with me is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm all troned out.
Troned out.
Yeah, I've seen the movie. I saw the original one. I watched all the extras on the DVD I had.
If you never Tron, you'll never fail. No, if you never... How's that go?
Huh? What?
Tron. If you never Tron, you'll never succeed.
I've seen so much Tron, I'm looking at my video camera over here going, okay, what's it going to do? Is it going to suck me in?
You did see the movie. All right, we'll get to that in just a moment. All right, hang on to that thought.
Sure.
We are going to get right into the voicemail. First voicemail up is actually from an anonymous source. I have no idea who it's from.
Star Trek and Star Wars. I don't remember the first time I saw either one, but the earliest memory that I can remember right now is my dad was watching Deep Space Nine, and I walked in and he was trying to explain to me about the character Jadzia Dax.
Hey, baby.
Which is a woman, but part of her is a man and really old and...
that didn't sound
what?
Good.
I'm going to go back to Power Rangers.
Power Rangers.
You know, it does sound awfully confusing, doesn't it?
Yeah, we were talking about a discussion of what did you discover first, Star Trek or Star Wars, and give us your story. Thank you, anonymous caller. You know, your voice sounded familiar. I just couldn't place it.
That was Obama. President Obama.
No, that was not President Barack Obama.
No. Okay. I thought it sounded like him. No.
Yeah, that description did sound a little weird. It's a woman, but it's an old guy, and...
Don't ask, don't tell. I'm sorry.
Yikes. All right, let's move on to Mad Marv. He gives us a voicemail about old storage media. We talked about floppy drives and zip drives and things, and he sent us a couple messages about that.
Hey, Chuck and Craig. This is Marv from Hawaii. About the old storage media formats, I remember our office used to use tape drives, not very big, like 4 gigs, 8 gigs compressed. Used to take forever to find something on that after you back it up.
Yeah.
Sometimes someone would come in, look for one file from one folder on the server. I'd have to go and retrieve it, and it'd take 2 hours because the index for the backup is all the way at the beginning of the tape, which you have to rewind down to. Then comes the part where you got to has to go and search through it and unpack it. Oh boy, those days are gone. Now we're just using external hard drives. Everything goes much smoother now.
I remember the 60 meg cartridge tapes. They had no indexes. You kids know, these days.
You know, those backups were supposed to save you, but it like wore down your soul to get the backup off of it.
You know, wore down your soul.
Yeah. Well, you have to wait and wait. Okay, now we're starting to read data. Okay.
It was hard to put an SLA on those things, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Now,
yes.
How? What kinds of media did you ever have to do restores from? I mean, did you actually do backups to floppies and have to ever have to restore from a floppy backup?
Yeah, actually, you know, I've kind of went the the way Marv was talking about at the end was using not hard drives, but you know, we talked about zip drives. I've used zips and floppies, and even on our server, I kept rotating zips of like our intranet. Okay. So, you know, the whole thing would, of course, get backed up to tape. So if I had to go that far back, you know, I could. But otherwise, I had 5 days worth of zips. So if somebody said, oh, I lost something, or it was not there anymore or something, I just go pull it out of the zip if it wasn't there for some reason. You know, if
what
it was
software
more,
did
week,
you use to back up to zips?
Oh, I was just trying to think of this utility. I can't remember the name of the utility. It was just a little Windows app, sat in the tray, and it would just sit there, and
okay.
I gave it a folder and a time, and it would just do it. Now, you could do it from the command line, of course, you know,
with
various tools. But, yeah, I was using some GUI tool. I can't even remember what it was now. But it worked pretty good.
I had a 150 meg backup cartridge tape. Actually, it was a 150/250, depending on what media you put it in there, to back up my BBS files. And that was mm-hmm. using tar and CPIO and all the geeky Unix yeah. commands. Mm-hmm. But on the NT systems at work, it was backup exec before Seagate got a hold of it. It was Arcade backup exec.
Ooh. Yeah. It's Arcadia?
I think it was somebody before that even. I mean, they changed company names like 4 or 5 times. That was a pretty solid application when you think about it.
Zadum mentioned ARC server on his Novell 311.
Yeah, man.
Wow. It's funny.
Now we're getting into it. All right. Yeah, go ahead.
But again, I always tried to use a system where I could just go grab the file rather than the tapes. I tried to avoid tapes. For servers, you had to kind of use them, but I would try to keep some system where I could go grab the file real quick.
Tapes were okay in later generations where you could do the fast forward to a block. I mean, when mm-hmm. you're backing up and it would keep the index and the position, once they got like tape indexes that actually had the position data on there, it was a pretty fairly painless operation. It was before that it got really nasty.
Yeah, well, yeah, those old, I tried to avoid tapes.
When they started getting into 8mm and the 4mm DATs and whatnot, it became a much more pleasant experience. Nothing mm-hmm. near what you get with a hard drive backup. Yeah. But in those old days of, you know, the 20 meg MFM hard drives, there really mm-hmm. was no hard drive to hard drive backup. That's when you had to deal with the zips and the jazz and the whatnot.
Yeah, even for a while, when DVD writers came, well, CD-ROMs, you know, it was a point when my data wasn't so much that I couldn't put it on a CD-ROM and burn it, you know. And then, of course, that kind of tipped pretty quick. And then it's like, oh, well, DVD read-writes or whatever are cheap enough. Let's use those. And now that's kind of going away. And now you just use external hard drives. I mean, I don't know if it was a one-day deal, but at Walmart, I saw $70 1.5 terabyte drives.
Isn't that crazy? This is nuts.
It is crazy.
Terabytes used to be like, ooh, those were for the big, expensive, you know, Oracle databases used, got up into the terabytes. Now we just go, you know, I'm going out to Best Buy, pick up a terabyte drive.
Well, at one point, that was the limit. Went it with XP or... Maybe it's earlier. XP, it was like, you know, with 32-bit. Well, I'm trying to think now. But that was like, you know, that was a high limit right there. Maybe it was 4 terabytes. No, I know. That's right. I think it was an update service pack to XP, and 4 terabytes was like the upper limit. Now it's like, it doesn't seem that far away.
Ooh. All right. Marv has another mail for us about media.
Hey, Chuck and Craig. This is Marv again. Just remember maybe about 6 months or earlier this year, someone actually asked on Twitter if they could borrow a zip drive because they found some old zip disks from some drawer in an office. I think it was the only one out of my group of friends that still had a zip drive sitting in a box under the shelf in the office. One of those old-fashioned ones. I think it might have been a 250 zip disk. Had to connect it to a USB drive because it was an IDE connector at the on the end of the zip drive.
Wow.
Boy, those are the days, huh? Bye.
So you had a USB enclosure with an IDE controller inside it? I mean,
there were some internal zip, you know, you could buy them as a replacement for a floppy, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had a reclaimed one from a merger and acquisition we did years ago. They were cleaning out all their old Micron machines and replacing them with HPs or something.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a stockpile in the shipping dock, and they said, hey, you know, you can have one, but you got to take a monitor with it. Because I want to get rid of the CRTs as well.
Oh, that's funny.
So I got like a 17-inch CRT and I think at the time it was like a 1.2 gigahertz Micron PC with a zip drive in it. So I don't even have any media for any of this. But it was an interesting curiosity.
Oh, now it's at the computer recycling center, right?
Oh, absolutely. That thing went years ago.
You know, when you mention CRT, I keep thinking, I don't know, I guess at the time it was just the state-of-the-art monitor, but those NEC multi-sync monitors, those were awesome.
The NEC multi-syncs? Oh, yeah. Those were cool because they could hook up to just about anything.
Yeah. I'm talking like, you know, when VGA was the, you know, VGA standard was, well, I guess it's still kind of standard, but when VGA first came out and they had these, the NEC multi-syncs came out and it's like they could do any resolution really that you threw at it.
We're going to have to do another retro show, I think.
Yeah. We are doing one right now.
Yikes. Okay. All right. Another one from Marv. You can hear Hawaii in the background when he talks. Listen closely.
That's cool.
Hey, Chuck and Craig. This is Marv from Hawaii again. Just saw Tron Legacy last night. No spoilers, but it's the first time I've seen a 3D movie in the theater, the one with the glasses. It wasn't the active response one, so I'm not sure if that makes a difference, but I've had a headache all day today. I can't help but think it's probably related to the 3D movie last night. Anyway, has anyone else had a problem with headaches on this new 3D technology? Okay, bye.
It wasn't the 3D movie. It was all the drinking.
I was going to say the same thing. Quit sneaking in the brandy bottle. No.
Yeah. He said he saw it in IMAX 3D because I asked him instead of they have the real 3D. I think it's a little different. I'm not sure how all that's different. But anyway, I saw it in IMAX 3D. I had no problem. And apparently Comedy Forecast had no problem either. But yeah, I didn't have a problem. I don't remember having a headache last night. I just never wanting to see it again.
I haven't seen too many things in 3D. I remember seeing Avatar, and we were way, way too close. I mean, we were front row close.
Oh, yeah, you can't do that.
Well, no, it actually worked out better than I thought, because until then, the only time I ever got 3D to work was at Universal Studios when we went to see the Terminator thing, and it worked awesome in the back. I mean, that was the best 3D I've ever seen.
Yeah. And I did see,
the second time we went, we were much closer. It still was okay. And I thought the only way I could ever get 3D to work was to sit in the back. Well, when we went to Avatar, it was okay. And it took a while for my eyes to get adjusted, but I don't remember any headache coming out after it.
Yeah. Well, I do want to add something here. Now, the reason I put it in here, Chuck, he was giving me a hard time earlier for
he
sticking
it. He put it in the voicemail section, and he didn't leave any voicemail. So just,
Well, I just wanted to throw it in here that I saw the movie, too, and I really liked it. I thought the 3D was great.
You have to put that through the high-pass filter when you do that.
The high pa- what?
So it sounds like you're coming in on a phone call.
Oh, yeah. Hey, yeah. No, but I thought I loved the movie. You know, people were complaining about the story being a little thin, and you said you read a review at the Wall Street Journal. Come on, man.
Don't you read the Wall Street Journal?
No. Why? I read the internet. No, well, but anyway, I saw the movie. Yeah, it took me a minute to kind of draw some lines between the story, but I was like, okay, I see where this is going. And it made more sense to me, I think, than some people that are not in circles that would, you know, understand Tron. So, but other than that, yeah, there was more eye candy and special effects than there was story, but, you know, to be sure, but I thought it was a great movie.
Lycra suits with electroluminescent wire?
Yeah, baby. You know what's funny is I watched the all the extras on the Tron DVD. I got the 20th anniversary Tron DVD and the extras. And, you know, I've seen it before. I'm watching the making of and all this stuff. And it's amazing what all they went through to make the first one.
It's going to be interesting to see what that what comes out at DragonCon for those costumes this year.
I could totally see people walking around now. with the electro, like you said, the lighting and all that built into it.
Put a light cycle in the parade. I'm there.
Yeah. I'm sure I wouldn't be surprised if somebody's riding around one. They do said somebody's making those, by the way.
Yeah, a little expensive for my taste though.
Yeah, right. Well.
All right, we have one more from I believe this is no, I lost it. I moved it off the screen. Bruce Barr calls in.
This is
like a holiday party.
Yeah.
Hi guys, it's Bruce. It's a week before Christmas, so it's a belated happy Hanukkah. A merriest of Christmas, and or whatever holiday, you know, winter solstice, get out there and take it in the moonlight, whatever it is that you do this time of year. But just wanted to wish everybody a happy, happy holidays and a joyous and prosperous new year. Everybody stay safe out there, and we'll talk to you next year. Bye now.
Thank you, Bruce. That was very nice of you to call and, Mark Shepard says, Bruce is like taxes. You can always count on him.
Once a year. Sorry.
No, very nice of him. Hey, for those of you listening on the live stream, I know this is going to be too late by the time you catch this in podcast form, but there is a lunar eclipse from like 12:30 Eastern to 5 a.m. Eastern Monday night, morning.
I'm not sure I'm going to get up early enough to see that. I'd like to, but...
You know what? If nature calls and I happen to look out the window and it's a clear sky, I might just catch something.
You'll be like, ah, oh. And that was before you saw the moon.
Hopefully the neighbors won't be seeing the moon.
Yeah. What's that white thing that comes from Chuck's house?
Oh, my God.
He must have left the light on. Oh, wait.
All right, we have letters.
Letters. Oh, we get letters. We get your letters every day. Mailman, mailman, mail today. Reach right in and pull one out. Those letters. I love those letters.
I love them too.
Let's find out what you've got to say.
Oh, boy.
Mailman.
A little Christmas in there for you.
I was going to say, do you hear Jingle Bells? I've never heard that in this song before. Craig,
Santa brought our letters to us. Sweet.
First one's from Dean Jensen. He writes, Chuck and Craig, my son and I have been having a blast translating Christmas carols to Yoda-ish. Here are a few we came up with.
Night silent it is. Night holy it is.
And of course, bells jingle they do.
Yes, they do.
The halls you will deck. Dreidel, dreidel, dreidel. Out of clay I made it.
That's pretty funny.
As I mentioned to Craig in the pre-show, I've been having Christmas Carol ADD. I just like spout out three words from any random song anywhere in the song.
Three random words. That's okay, right. Go for it. Go.
Underneath the mistletoe last night, and then that would be stuck in somebody's head, and about 3 minutes later, I'd come along later and say, because hippopotamuses love me too. And, you know, try not to put those two together.
Yeah, right. That's funny.
And then Julie snipered me, man. I walked from downstairs to upstairs, and I swear I didn't hear a thing. And I'm upstairs brushing my teeth, and I come back down singing a song, and she says, I got you. I said, what? She said, you're singing We Three Kings. I said, so? She says, I got you as you went by. I said, no, you didn't. And Lisa laughs. She goes, yes, she did. I was completely subliminal. I mean, it was perfect.
That is funny.
The student has surpassed the master.
Yeah. She's going to overthrow you here soon.
She's messing with me. It was fun. We have
She's going to take your lightsaber and beat you with it.
Yikes. We have another email from Dean Jensen.
Another.
Dean writes in again. I can't believe you made me stop listening to the show to write this. Wow.
That's power.
Yeah. Stop what you're doing. Hit pause. Write to Technorama. He
just
writes in
regarding
our storage media. He says, zip drives, 100 meg or 250 meg. 100 meg was the most common. External drive was parallel and a pass-through device, which was a real pain if your printer could not handle a pass-through device.
Oh,
thanks, HP. Remember that stuff? I forgot about pass-through devices because there were some security dongles, like on, I think, was it AutoCAD or some other expensive software had some parallel port license token key thing that just printers hate.
I've seen them. Yeah, and I've seen them on parallel ports and serial ports and stuff like that. Those little key dongle keys.
You know, but I do remember the computers around my house. I don't think I have a serial or parallel port anymore.
No, actually, you would go buy a converter for your USB.
That's frightening, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know,
Ethernet. You know, you can put a little Ethernet appliance out there for parallel ports.
Yeah. And you know, the only place I really see any parallel ports is Centronics parallel ports is like at McDonald's or someplace like that on cash registers. Sometimes you see it on the back of the receipt printer.
Which is funny because Centronics went out of business a long time ago. Anyway, on with his email. Internal was either IDE or SCSI, depending on what hard drive type you were using. Internal zip drives were common on the G3 and earlier machines due to their availability to handle larger file sizes. This was great for publishing companies. PageMaker and Illustrator files were routinely greater than 1.44 megabytes.
Yeah, 1.45.
Oh, man. That's like, I download apps from the iTunes App Store bigger than that these days.
That's what I was going to say. Yep.
Jazz drives were 1 gigabyte or 2 gigabyte and based on a solid metal platter and not a floppy material like Zip or standard floppies. iOmega had a Ditto drive that was tape-based. Oh, my goodness. Now we're starting to sound like Bernoulli boxes.
Oh, no. Yeah. I just like saying that, Bernoulli box.
Bernoulli? Bernoulli's a cool scientist. And you know, there's a scientific principle based on low pressure that's called the Bernoulli effect. But I don't want to get into that now. You can go look it up. He says, on the floppy front, I remember.
Hey, by the way, is that what made the boxes work?
You're right. Low pressure.
Yeah.
On the floppy front, I remember installing Microsoft Office version 4.3, from floppies. 43 floppies. In comparison, Windows 3.1 was 7, and Windows 3.11 was 9. 95 came with 13. They were DMF formatted to 1.6 megabytes each and needed a special program to format your disk to DMF if you were creating floppies from an image. So you couldn't just copy them.
I think I did that once. I don't remember doing that, messing with DMF, but I know what he's talking about.
Ugh. Keep up the great work. We also have one final email from Mad Marv, who sent us those three previous
emails. He's been busy, by the way.
He has been busy. He says, I was told that I saw the original Star Wars movies 5 times in the theater when I was 2 years old. Oh, my God.
5 times? Wow.
He was told this because he doesn't remember when he was 2. I don't remember it, though. I was the first grandchild on both sides of my family, and every aunt and uncle took me to see the movie for some reason.
Yeah. Oh, he'll love that. That's funny. That's funny.
He won't remember going again.
Yeah. We can't get a sitter.
Let's take little Marvy. He loves Boba Fett.
Yeah. I wish I had a count on how many times I did go. I just remember, tagging along with everybody. They mentioned they were going to see Star Wars or, oh, can I go?
Oh, you kids.
Yeah.
You were probably Harrison's age.
I was born in 69, so I was 11.
Yeah, about Harrison's age.
Yeah. Harrison's 8.
Oh, well, yeah, 8 to 11.
No, I don't want to rush. Let's don't rush Harrison's age. No, he's 8. That's where it's at.
Clinton said, I worked as an usher during the re-release. Lost count how many times. I can see Clinton in the back reciting lines and whipping off Mystery Science Theater comments.
Yeah.
Who shot first?
Yeah. Who's laughing at this and have to escort him out?
All right, that takes care of our mail.
Another letter from our listeners.
They said another letter. That was singular. We had multiple.
Another letters.
All right. Some more letters from our listeners day. All right. That takes care of it. That's our listener feedback show, a.k.a. the network show. What?
Hey, by the way, Comedy Forecast speaks up and he says, a fellow Usher and I reenacted a lightsaber fight with flashlights.
Oh, sweet.
During the show. Hilarious. I bet it was.
Bring on the video, man. I want to see that.
Actually, my first lightsaber that I got for Christmas, looking back on it, it was a flashlight handle with a, translucent whitish tube.
We used to use the tubes from the Christmas wrapping paper.
Well, but they weren't illuminated.
Who cares? You still got to make the noise. We were poor. We had 9 kids. You can't expect us to buy flashlights every Christmas.
No, I guess not.
It was the flashlight, and it was one of those lantern battery kind. Hey, that was deadly.
Y'all were
swing
so
around.
Poor, you had to share the tape, the paper too, between you all.
Yeah, it was wasn't even a flashlight. It was a candle.
There was only one tube, and we had to all share it.
And then somebody beat it a little hard. It broke, and then you had this wobbly lightsaber.
Check out the hand-me-down.
Hand-me-down wrapping paper tube.
Yeah, here, we're done playing with it. You play with it now.
And then we had the light dagger. That was from the paper towels. And I'm not even going to tell you what came out of the toilet paper roll.
No. That's Yoda's.
That takes us to the end of the network show. We appreciate your support. We hope you are having a wonderful holiday season as we are. If you like the show, there are many ways to show your love. I know you've got some time off from work, so why not give us a call at 206-222-CHAT. That's 206-222-2428. Tell us what cool geeky gifts you got for Christmas, or you expect or you hope to get. That would be lovely too. Send an email to technorama@chuckchat.com, or you can flag us on Twitter at tech101. You know all this stuff is on the contact us page at chuckchat.com. /Technorama. If you can't find that, you need help. Just search for Technorama on Google. We're still number one. Oh, it's a good time, isn't it?
Yeah.
Special thanks to Mad Marv for all the great blog content and all the great voicemails and emails he sent us on this one. That was awesome. I want to thank Ustream for keeping our modest live streams going on Sunday nights. Live chat room provided by ThinStack.net. Thank you very much for that. We also want to thank Farpoint Media for the storage of all of our files during the week. If you're not listening to one of the podcasts from Farpoint Media, go check them out, man. There's a lot of great podcasts over there, including some of the people that are in our chat room tonight. It's awesome. This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. You can find out more at friendsintech.com. And you know what? Just, if you're not already subscribed to the podcast, go to iTunes, click on subscribe, get it delivered to you automatically for free. Hey, hope you're having a great holiday season. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, whatever other holidays, Robotica. Till next time, tell a friend about Technorama and a binary high five.
10 ho 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 1.
Oh, dip.
Dip indeed.